Divine dividing line is clear as day as night. Okay? One side stands for life, one side stands for death. We're talking about the womb. One side stands for the Constitution, the other side stands against the Constitution. And so, are you pushing to one side or the other? You know, let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Cast your vote. But remember, it is Jesus, God, who sets up the powers and principalities of this world. America deserves, all right? We deserve the chastisement and the judgment of God. We deserve it. Okay? But it does tell us in the Word of God that if His people who are called by my name, His name, not Curtis, God's name, if they would humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, and seek His face, that He would heal the land. That's a promise that can't be broken. God promised that. Now you say, well, He promised that to Israel. He promised that to those who are called by His name. All right? Not just Israel, but anybody who says that they are part of God, the family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, right? Because I've been washed in the fountain, I'm cleansed by His blood. Right? So we have those promises. But we also have these other promises that Jesus talks about in Matthew 24 and 9 and following. It says in verse 9, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated for all of all nations for my name's sake. And then many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. All right? What's he talking about there? What's Jesus talking about? I can wait all day. Come on, yawn that down.
Well, that's what we're going through now. People are offended by someone else's opinion, and they think theirs is the only way, scenario we're going through.
Okay, where's it coming from?
Sin.
Sin.
Evil.
All right, those are good answers. Where? Jesus also says in this, know that I told you before time these things would happen. Okay, so we're not supposed to be overly worried about that, but we do need to know that it's more than just sin, because sin's been in the earth ever since Adam allowed it to come in way back in the garden. Sin has been here. God's dealt with it harshly one time before as a worldwide thing. He sent the flood, killed it all except for the Noah and his sons. But even in that, in his sons, sin was still alive because of humankind, right? And so sin from that point to this point has been exploding on the scene, growing exponentially from one generation to another. Go ahead.
So if I say flesh, that's the same as sin.
Flesh is the personal sin. Now there is a sin nature. All right, that's your flesh, that's your sin nature. Now, there is the falling of the nature, everything that God created that came from Adam's fall, all right? Before Adam fell, there were no thorns, there was no poison ivy, all right? You could walk around, you could eat whatever came out of the earth, you didn't have to worry about any poisons. There was no death until there was no sin, there was no death until that happened. But since that happened, everything has gone to the world, right? Everything has gone to the world. And so in the end times, not talking about personal sin or nothing like that, there's going to be some things that are manifesting themselves faster and faster and faster, just like a woman in labor, right? And that's how Jesus compares it to. It starts out slow and then it becomes worse and worse and worse and worse until you've got a kid, and then it becomes worse and worse and worse and worse. As the kid grows up, as a teenager, and then finally leaves. And then you got the kids that become worse and worse and worse. Anyway. But go ahead, sister.
It's like when, like a stream or a type of water, it makes it so that there's a circle and then that gets bigger and bigger.
Yes. That's exactly what it's like, only on a universal scale. So sin fell into the pond, right? And it made the splash, and then it started making ripples, right? It got bigger and bigger and bigger. And in that bigger and bigger and bigger, I mean, that's a wonderful analogy. And after it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, then all of a sudden there's a calm. Well, that calm will be the millennial reign of Christ. But it's going to get worse and worse and worse until that. And so he says that you're going to be delivered up. What does
off my phone,
yeah.
And there was a couple answers.
Right.
But did
true.
You answer you?
No, I did not. So where's it all coming from? Does it, do you need glasses? We got pairs of them over there, readers.
Yeah.
Would young girl on the air, I cannot call your name.
Allison,
will you grab a pair of glasses?
Are there anything?
There should be a pair right there behind the purse.
Whoa.
Nope.
Nope. Oh, I have glasses. If you can't read your Bible because you don't need glasses, I got glasses.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Foggy's in here.
There's, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, so now I heard my page is turning on. It turned on. Praise God.
Whoa. Hey, it works.
There you go. Now you can hold that Bible a long way away.
Are these yours?
Yeah. Those are the ones that before I got my trifocals.
Okay.
And so, because the cool thing about my eyes is I can see way, way far away, easy.
Yeah.
I got 20/15,
yeah.
Right? But I can't see anything next to me.
Yeah.
So I got the ones here, then I got my readers here, then I got the super readers here. So I got three different layers of glass. And so anyhow, where is it prophesied about? I'll hit to you. Where is it prophesied about? Is it? Amen. All right. You have a picture of this, and it's Daniel chapter 7 talks about the little horn. The little horn rising up, and his authority that's given to him. And in his authority, in Daniel 7, 25, it talks about him making war with the starts with S. And
saints.
There you go. Making war with the saints. Who are the saints? We are. All right. It also mentions that in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 7, given to him, who? The little horn, to make war with the saints and to prevail against them. All right, now I know that a lot of us were taught that you would never be at war with the Antichrist because you're going to be raptured out of here. You'll never have to worry about that. Well, the Bible says, and I think the Bible tells us, that from Daniel chapter 7, that we will see the rise of the Antichrist. We're going to see the little horn come. And he's going to make war with the saints. Anybody in Daniel chapter 7, 25 right there? Go ahead, read that.
And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand until a time and times and dividing of time.
Beautiful. Did you understand everything that he just said in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25 and following? Did you hear that? Do you need it to be read to you again? You need it again? Okay. And he shall speak great words against who? Who is he that's speaking the words? God's going to speak against himself? Okay, the Antichrist. The Antichrist, he shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out. What does wear out the saints mean?
That's descriptive terms. Right? He's going to beat down, and he's going to throttle. And he's
have you ever been brought behind the woodshed?
Yep.
All right? My mama would tell me, I'm going to wear you out.
Yep.
And she didn't mean she's going to make me work real hard. What she meant is she's going to pop the strap off of her purse, and she's going to come grab me by the ear, and she's going to beat me until I stop. All right? I'm going to wear you out. That's how my mama fixed things that were broke in the house.
Well, there's a different type also.
Yep.
And that's just a constant nagging.
Yeah.
You have kids or even a spouse who wants something and the other doesn't. It's just a constant nagging.
Yeah, it's better to be living in the corner of the house than with a nagging wife.
I didn't say wife. I said spouse.
And both, either of those result in exhaustion. And I think,
yes.
Not that it's necessarily, I don't know, something right now, I think it is, but, like, I'm sure we've all felt the exhaustion during this whole COVID thing.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because every day it's something else, or in the unknown part of it, you know, all that stuff, and you get really, really tired.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And also everybody thinking we're crazy.
Amen.
You know,
yeah.
I mean,
vice versa.
And even in teaching this, other pastors. think I am crazy. All right? Other Christians think that we're crazy for teaching this, that this is the time. Go ahead, sister.
It's kind of like all these other people want to know what those are.
Yeah. God, I love that girl. I really do. It's like when Noah was building the ark. Right? What were the people doing to him? That guy's crazy. They wore him out.
But nowadays, you don't learn about all that unless you want to go to jail. Now you go to timeout for 5 minutes instead of.
Well, we had a timeout thing too. My mom had a piece of tape on the wall, and my sisters will tell you that my tape was more through to the paneling, and so you had to put your nose in the tape, right, and stand there. You know, and my tape had to be replaced often because I was often there. But anyhow, that's not what he's talking about. I know that the world tells you that you can't raise your kids, that's all. But that's not where the Bible's talking about the saints, the people, all right, the church. That there's going to rise up somebody who's going to wear us out. And there's two different types of wearing out. And I'm glad that Alan brought up the type where you just are grinded away, you know, by the constant worries, the constant concerns, the constant looking away. And that type of worrying is a very dangerous one because it's not out in the open. It's the small foxes that are eating the vine, right? That destroy the vine. It is the ones coming underneath and just because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold, right? It's the abounding of iniquity, the abounding of lawlessness, and it just goes on and worse and worse and worse. And we just get wore out. You know, I'll be honest, I'm tired of hearing about the virus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right? All right, God, send it all, okay?
Get over with.
All right? I'm so past worried about that. Go ahead.
That's satanic, you know.
It is.
Satan knows that if you people are watching this 24/7, even if they're not aware of it,
yeah.
If you drive down the expressway, wear your mask, wash
mm-hmm.
your hands,
mm-hmm.
and even though even if you keep the TV off,
yeah,
because I watch
very little
TV,
yeah. Then
I watch it, I can't believe it. It's amazing, it's unfathomable compared to what it was 5 years ago.
5 years ago, mm-hmm. yeah.
So.
Well, now it's wear a mask and save a life.
Yeah, that's yeah. Just, you know, it's yeah.
And go ahead.
Oh, so, no, I wanted to continue on. Verse 25,
okay, go for it.
Where it says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws.
Mm-hmm.
What is that referring to?
Well, think about this, calling good evil and evil good, that's changing the law. The law of God says that man, the law of marriage, all right, here's a good one, they're changing the laws. One man, one woman for life, that's the way God planned marriage, right? What does the law say now?
Do what you want.
Any dog, any cat, for as long as you like. All right? And so that's a law that's coming up. The law says that parents are supposed to train up their children. Well, now there's a law that says that a parent can't bring up their children, kind of like what Mike was talking about. You can't bring up your child anymore. That the government is, how did Hillary put it? It takes a village,
yeah.
A community, a village to raise a child. No, it does not. It does not. It does not take a village to raise a child. It takes a mom and a dad to raise a child. That's what it takes. Grandparents to raise a child. That's what it takes. Takes love. Absolutely. And the government does not love you. All right? They love themselves. All right? All right. So those are some of the laws. Changing the times. Changing our history. Right, when it says changing the times, that Bible is so archaic. That King James, it was written in 1611. That can't be relevant for today. So we need to change the times.
We're doing away with our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our
Freedom
of Speech.
Yeah. Well, here it's just talking about the saints. Okay, what is affecting the saints? All right, because he's going to change the times, and he's going to change the saints. Who are saints?
One saved.
All right, the saved, right? Now, those who are saved, what is our standard? Go ahead.
So,
one way that we've changed is churches aren't meeting.
Amen.
Churches are social distancing. Churches are doing, you know, drive-up services. They yeah. are doing every other pew. They are wearing masks. They are... doing it online. It's not like church was.
Just a year ago.
Right.
Okay.
Well, that's not the example of church in the Bible.
In the Bible. No. Yeah.
Nowhere in Bible scripture. Could be wrong. I've been wrong before, right, honey?
Once.
But that was just about 37 years ago, right?
I don't believe mass.
Yeah.
Or you know, it's part of, you know, it talked about dressing modestly, mm-hmm. dressing respectful, but nowhere does it say you need to wear a mask.
No.
And doesn't also God show, he laid hands, there was the
right.
touch, there was all of that, there wasn't this divide and this
right.
separation and stay away from each other.
Yes. All of those things are true. And this is part of the great apostasy, the falling away, right, that we're told that would happen in the last days. The son of perdition, right, will not be exposed. He won't come out until there's a falling away first. So what is this falling away? When you change the times, you change the laws. All of a sudden, nothing is concrete anymore. We moved so far away from the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, the cornerstone that you are the Son of God, all right? And upon that rock, that cornerstone, he's going to build his church. Well, now we're coming up, we're believing false prophets, my wife was telling me in the ladies' group that there's a woman there saying that she knows people have seen Jesus in the flesh on the earth right now.
Yeah.
All right? If you're believing in that, you are greatly deceived. Jesus said that there will be, don't follow them. These false prophets are going to rise, these false Christs are going to come. Don't be sucked into that. So if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter or whatever the thing is, when somebody says, "Ooh, I saw the Christ the other day. He showed me his scars and all that stuff. Man, we were just floating in the air praying. God, glory to Jesus." Don't be deceived. All right? When Jesus comes back, it's going to be worldwide known. There's not going to be, he's in Florida. All right, he came to Florida and he's chilling out. He's surfing. I surfed with Jesus the other day. No, you did not.
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus. And this woman from Mexico. This one.
Stop.
I love you so much. And so these things are happening right now. Right now. All right. And they're trying desperately to change the times and the laws that we have known, that we have dealt through.
They're just nipping a little bit at a time.
Absolutely.
To get to where they want to get to.
Again, the Song of Solomon says that it's the small, or is it Ecclesiastes? It's the small foxes, it's the baby foxes that eat around the bottom of the vineyard, the vine, that kills the vine. So what they're doing is one dip at a time, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there, and they're going to kill the vine. Who's the vine? Wait, you're the branches. Who's the vine?
Jesus.
All right, our faith in Jesus Christ. And these false prophets, these false times, these things were coming, and when this thing happens and they successfully eat through the casement of the base of the plant, there's going to be a persecution on the church that the world has not seen. It's not a localized persecution. This will be a worldwide persecution.
Never time like it. Never will be.
Never will. I mean, it is going to be so radical. All right? But be of good cheer. All right? Jesus overcame the world. We're talking about this. This might, if you're young, this might be very frightening to you. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of this. Jesus told us beforehand that it would happen. Right? He told us that these things were going to happen. And hey, look, it's only for 3.5 years. Again, in 25, chapter 7 of Daniel. And they shall be given into his hand. Whose hand are we going to be given unto? His. The Antichrist. Now, God says he's going to give his the people of God, his people, over into the hand of the Antichrist. Right? Or did I read that wrong? All right, I read that correctly. All right? Until a time's time and a dividing of time. Does anybody know what that means? Why do you say that?
A time.
No, go ahead. There's.
Are they come up with a number?
Yeah. How do you count?
Well, time is one.
Uh-huh.
Times is two more.
Right?
And a half.
Half. There you go. It's simple math. One and one are 11. Right? It's simple stuff. And so you got a time, there's one, then there's another time, is two, and the half time, or times, until time and times and a dividing of time. So there's one, two, and a dividing of time is three and a half. Right? So you got that one, two, and a half, one, two, three and a half. Yes?
Well, I was just thinking about that, because I finished reading Romans last night, Romans 14, and it says, every knee shall bow.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that call themselves saints, but like we read in the Bible, the road to the kingdom is narrow.
Yeah.
And the way is broad.
That leads to destruction.
So yeah. There's a lot of people who can call themselves saints, but they may never see God.
Let me ask you this. Does it matter what you call yourself or what Jesus calls you?
What Jesus calls
you. There you go. I'm more concerned about what Jesus calls me than what I call myself or what anybody else calls me. Alright? Jesus calls me a saint.
But in that verse that you just gave, it says every knee. Didn't say every saint's knee.
Thank you. Yes.
Every knee.
Yeah. And even if they don't call themselves Christian, or they call themselves Christian or not, and that's none of our business. Alright? You know what the big business is? It's about me.
For him to say that. Well done, my good and faithful servant.
Well, that's the end result. But this whole book is not written about somebody else. This whole book is relevant to the person. It's very individual. So when you say those folks who call themselves saints, that's between them and Jesus, say none of my business. Right. All right? And I'm not, the Bible tells me not to judge another man's servant.
Well, we have a bigger worry.
Thank you. Come on.
That's me.
Yeah.
I have to worry about me.
Right.
Because I can look at you all day long, and that doesn't do me a bit of good. Doesn't do you a bit of good.
Yes.
And even if I could save you, I still haven't saved me.
Right. Absolutely. And so when we get our focus off on what brother so-and-so is doing, sister so-and-so, or person in the world is doing, then we're moving the focus off of our relationship with Christ, and we're like that man who's standing in the temple praying to himself, saying, thank you, God, that I'm not like all those other people. Yeah, no, I'm not like those guys over there. You know, they're so nasty. I'm so good.
They just judge themselves.
Right. Jesus told us to, before I complain about the speck in your eye, let's get the plank out of your own face. All right? Let's take care of your life first before you complain about your neighbor's grass, mow your own.
Let a man examine himself.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, sis.
So, then at the end of Daniel chapter 12,
yeah,
there's days. How do those days tie into the times and the dividing of time?
At the end of chapter 12, tell me the verse that you're in.
It's 11 through 13.
And from that time, the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, and there shall be 8,290 days. Blessed is him that waiteth to the 1,305 days. All right, so you have two different days, two different things, and they're not that far apart from each other. They're just, a couple weeks. Right? And so, you're blessed if you're a Christian and you see the abomination of desolation, you see that, good for you. Good for you. If you've made it that far, praise God. I mean, and it sounds bad because there's this great persecution that comes before that time. Right? And Jesus is saying, good for you, that's all right. But when you see this abomination, that means you only got a couple days left. A couple days more of the persecution, a couple days more of the hurting, a couple days more of the absence from the Christ. There's just a couple days more, and you're going to go home. That's good news. Blessed is he that waiteth the 2,005 and 30 days. All right? But go thou your way till the end be, for thou rest and thou stand in thy lot. And now, look at what he says in verse 13. Talking about those times, he says, and you, Daniel, but go thou thy way until the end be. All right, go your way until you die. All right, just go your way till the end. For thou shalt rest. I like that. Those who are in Christ Jesus who pass away, guess what happens? You start with R and ends with S. You rest. All right, you rest. And stand in thy lot, which that lets me know that there's certain times, Daniel standing in his group of people, right, until the end of days. How long is Daniel going to wait? Until the end of days happens. The Ancient of Days, the end of days. Daniel's going to be in his lot. Now, the church has a lot. The Old Testament saints have a lot. Now, when you buy stuff in a store, you buy it by lots, I bought a lot. You go to an auction and you buy a lot. Not a whole bunch, but a lot. Like a whole table full of stuff. That's the lot. And so that's the lot that he's talking about here, that you will be part of that lot. And so, as far as the days go, blessed. Who's good in math? The difference between 1,290 days and the 1,305 and 30 and 35 days.
45 days.
So it's 45 days.
Right.
All right. I'm having trouble writing it down because I wrote down 1,305 and 30 days. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I wrote down 1, 3, 35.
5
and
30.
Yeah. Okay. 1, 3.
It's like fumfum
thraishi.
Yeah,
just give it to me in
English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much is it?
I need somebody to do the math because I'm not good at math. 45 days.
Okay.
At the end of the 3.5 years, 45 days pass. All right, because the first is the 42 months, right? It's 1,290 days. Isn't that 42 months, 3.5 years?
Well, I've got a question about that. The 3.5 years is 1,260.
Cool. Okay. Well, see, I'm not good at math.
But anyway, I'm looking at where we were back in Daniel 7:25.
Yep.
But yet, it's 1260, I think.
Yeah.
But yet, here in verse 11, it says 1290.
Right.
Israel, they had 1,200. They used 360-day year.
Right.
So their months were 30 days. Israel, at the end of 6 years, would have a month.
Okay.
And that would take 1290. So, and that was, I think, every 6 years they would do that.
All right. Just before the Jubilee year.
6 years. So
we'll
added 30.
The extra
30 days mentioned here allow for the judgments, which will take place after the second coming of Christ.
Right. And so the time, remember, we're doing time at the 70th year of Daniel, the 70th year. So what you're seeing there is a mathematical thing, and I need somebody who knows math a lot gooder than I do. All right, I failed sixth grade algebra, right, and so.
So there's a leap month.
There's a leap month. Yes.
Every 6 years.
Every 6 years. Right. And so the way that the Hebrews calculated months and days is different than the way that the Greeks or the Babylonian calendar would count months. Gregorian calendar, I think. And so it's a different calendar and it's a different way of counting things. And so if we only look at it through Gentile eyes, we'll get really confused. So we've got to put on our Hebrew mind and our Hebrew mathematical stuff. Go ahead.
So why does he refer to it in days here and then times dividing the time? Like, are they the same?
They are the same, but it makes you dig.
It's just something I always get stuck.
And I really think that God put those little quirks in there, really true, to make you dig into it.
Yeah.
Well, because
right?
then if you look at chapter 8, verse 14, it says, and he said unto me, unto 2,300 days,
mm-hmm.
then shall the sanctuary be cleansed.
Right.
And I don't...
where does that reference the times?
Times, time, and a half a time?
Daniel 7:25.
It's actually Daniel 7:25. It's in 7 or 12, verse 7. Revelation 11:2. Revelation 12:6. Revelation 14. Revelation 13:5.
Thank you.
So there's several different places that this time of 42 months or 1,260 days is mentioned throughout Scripture.
Definitely Revelation 12:6.
Yeah. And so.
So what were you just asking about, Daniel 8:14?
Something
like that. Yeah. You know, we talked about 2,300 days. And he saith unto me, unto 2,300 days shall the sanctuary be cleansed. All right. Now think about this. They do the new sanctuary. And it takes a time to cleanse it. There's sacrificing in there. It's holy for how long? For 2,300 days, the sanctuary is clean. Then you're going to see the abomination of desolation happen, which is going to pervert the sanctuary. It's going to filthy the sanctuary. All right, so you have different times, different events going on, the cleansing of the temple, how long it's going to be cleansed. And then you're going to see the Antichrist actually come into the temple and pervert what is clean and make it dirty. All right? Trying to think of the guy's name. Because this is something that was done a long time ago. Who's that guy? That did the abomination of desolation. He slaughtered the pig on the altar way back in...
What is it?
The Maccabean days. What is the abomination of desolation? It's where you make an unclean sacrifice upon the altar of God. It's the abomination of desolation. All right, it's been done one other time. I can't call the guy's name.
Achaicus, a Greek guy.
Yeah. And it's the one who started the rebellion of the Maccabees.
Epiphanes.
Epiphanes. Okay. Yeah. Epiphanes. And so if you didn't know why I had a hard time calling that one out of the back of my head.
I am so sorry, and I apologize to the group. I work night shifts, so I'm always a little late. Could you just tell me where we are now?
Where we are now. Okay. Well, we were talking about this right here. We're talking about the persecution of the saints.
So, so are we at the 3.5, before the 3.5, after the 3.5?
During and up to the 3.5.
Okay, this is where we're starting right now.
This is so we had come up, Jesus said in Matthew 24:9, we'll be delivered, we'll be afflicted, we'll be killed, we'll be hated. Many will be offended and betray each other and hated by one another. Daniel points to this time from an Old Testament view. Revelation points to this time. Daniel 7:25 is what we're looking at, which has brought us to Daniel chapter 12, Daniel chapter 8, and we've been talking about the mathematical equations that are held inside of Daniel, which I got to let y'all know I was not prepared for.
Could you repeat again what you said, the abomination of desolation?
The abomination of desolation. It is when somebody comes into the Holy of Holies and makes an unclean sacrifice. Epiphanes. Anyhow, this guy who has Epiphanes, that fellow, he came and he did it way back in the revolt of the Maccabees. All right? And he came and he sacrificed a pig on the altar of God, which made the Maccabean, the family, John Joseph Maccabea, made him start the rebellion against the Grecian Empire that was controlling Israel at that time. They rebelled against it. They actually conquered the Grecian Empire. That was there. Next week I'm going to take Daniel and go lay out all of the kingdoms that were seen by Nebuchadnezzar and the structure that he saw, the head of gold, the brass.
So, are we talking about something that happened in history? Are we talking? I mean, is there like an account? I mean, this
yes and yes. All right. There's yes, both. There's an Old Testament something that showed that that was going to happen then, and we have a one in the Revelation and in the New Testament that Jesus talked about, because Jesus couldn't have been talking about epiphanies, because epiphanies happened thousands of years before Christ was born. So Jesus is talking about a different temple, a different sacrifice being made, but the same result.
So you're saying this happened once before,
yes.
And it's going to happen.
Yes,
once
so you
again.
Have an Old Testament reality of a New Testament picture. All right.
Wasn't it punishable by instant death?
Yes.
So how did he get away with it?
Well, and it was instant death if you were a Hebrew. Right? Now remember, the Jews had turned against God for 1,000 years. God had already, the Spirit of God had already left the temple. Right? He, Elvis has left the temple. Alright? He was gone. Alright? So all the people were there doing their sacrifices and stuff like that, but they really didn't have the Spirit of God guiding them in doing it. So God allowed the Grecian Empire to come and conquer Israel. We have a lot of pictures of that back in Judges. When Israel sinned against God, God sent in a country or a group of people to put them in slavery, bond them up until they repented, and then God sent them a judge, and the judge sent them victory, and then they walked with God. And it's a circular thing, all right? So it's they walked with God starting, and then they started following false gods, Baals, and all that other stuff. And then God sends a country in, or a group of people, one of the Ites, Jebusites, Edomites, Moabites, one of the Ites come in and put them in bondage. Then they repent. They come back to God. God sends them a judge, tells them what to do. Then they live righteous for a while, and then it starts the secular motion all over again. All right, so that's happened over and over again. When Archicus Epiphanes, or whatever, I'm just going to call him Epiphanes because I can't get that first name right. When that guy Epiphanes, Israel was living in a rebellious state at that time. So it was very able that a Gentile would be able to come in and call himself God. You're going to worship me. But God raised up a judge called the Maccabeans, the family, the Maccabean revolt. Revolt. Yeah, because a revolt's what you do in nighttime, you lock your door and you revolt it. But if you're going to fight against it, you got to revolt against it, all right? So the Maccabeans came in, and they had this revolt against the Epiphanes guy and the Greeks that were running Jerusalem at the time. God allowed them to prevail. And they lived for a short while in victory until the Roman Empire moved in. And when the Roman Empire moved in, then they were again in bondage, enslaved. And they stayed enslaved until the Romans came and burned down Jerusalem to the ground. Not one stone was left upon another. All right?
70?
87. So that's a lot of history. And if you want me to, I will get the history books out. And next week, we'll go through it year by year.
I was going to say, can we just start in Genesis with the Lord's
We could. We could. But I don't know if we're going to wait that long, all right? So I want to get this kind of stuff hammered out, or at least get us digging into it, because it is in the Bible, right? It's in the Bible. And the Maccabean revolt, I know that it was taken out because it was part of the Apocrypha, right? They took it out of the Bible. But that is a wonderful historical book. It's mentioned in Josephus. Right, it's all of the ancient historians talk about this time of the Maccabean revolt. It is a wonderful, it's a wonderful study.
But there are some books in the Apocrypha that are. Really
Oh yeah.
Hell and the Dragons.
Yeah, right. Oh yeah, yeah. And some of the things in Enoch are kind of
strange. First Enoch.
Yeah, first Enoch was great. Second Enoch was kind of twisted, right? And so, if you haven't read, that's not part of the Bible. But there are some things. I mean, Enoch was talked of by Jesus and was talked of by Jude. All right? They both pointed to some points in the book of Enoch. Boy, that was better taste than the first time. Yeah. And so yeah. And who's really confused right now? All right. So,
I just see history repeats itself.
Yes.
It's really what's going on.
It's really what's going on. History repeats itself. But like the sweet young lady over there, starts with D, Diana. Yeah. As she said, it's kind of like when sin entered in, a rock fell into the pond of our time-space continuum that's been making ripples. And as we're coming to the end of the Gentile age, these ripples are differing, all right? And although the ripple was like a ripple just before it, it's a time and a time and a time, and it just repeats itself, right? Now what we're seeing is that it's starting to, like when that rock gets hit in the water, it kind of smooths out. We're seeing the end of the Gentile age. But that doesn't mean the ripples are finished. What's going to happen? Go ahead. I see that you've got this question.
Me?
Yeah. No. All right. You look curious. And so in the analogy, what you see is that, and remember, we're using a physical thing to express an internal knowledge. All right. So it's a neat picture, but it doesn't cover every aspect. So what we're seeing here is towards the end of the time of the Gentiles, there will be this rising up of the little horn, which is talked about in Daniel chapter 7. He is going to make war with the saints, and he is going to prevail against the saints. Not against the church. Okay? Because the church is built on what?
The rock.
The rock. Who is?
Jesus.
Jesus, all right? And Jesus gave us that promise, that word that can't be moved, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But it never said that the church would not be persecuted because of its stand on the rock.
Absolutely.
Okay, beautiful. And so what we're going to see in our time, I really believe this is going to happen in America. All right? It's because, like I said at the beginning of this, America has never been tested. We were started out as a God-fearing nation. The Pilgrim, the Mayflower Compact, you read those founding documents where George Washington stood in New York and proclaimed the things. Those documents, you go back, you read those, you look at that. America was a godly nation. But because of the blessings of God, we did just as Israel has done. Remember, about every 400 years was that secular thing where God would have to do something.
Well, George Washington also prayed a prayer of a blessing
and a curse. Yeah.
He says, if we ever this nation ever turns its back on you, give them the
plagues
of the Bible.
Yeah. And we're watching that.
Well, there's a lot of the founding fathers were deists.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that everybody was walking on water, you know. But even the one who was considered a deist or an atheist, Benjamin Franklin, said that we can't even start our Congress without prayer. Right? That's when they got the first Congress chaplain. All right? Now, he was, if anybody asked any secular person, let's say, well, he didn't know God. Well, he did know that God brought them through all of the things up until that time. And then we weren't going to move forward without God backing even the atheists, all right? So I'm not saying that the American foundation was perfect, you know, by any means. But the foundation that was laid out was on Judeo-Christian principles. Before the Constitution, the Mayflower Compact. Because they hadn't made contact yet, because they're still on the boat. They had to get on the land and make contact. But yeah, the compact. Those founding principles of we come here to a new land to worship God, the God of the Bible, which they weren't allowed to do in Europe. That was the whole reason that they came to America to start that. Did it get perverted from then? You know, from... what was it, 15, there's a little line, 15-something, Columbus showed, yeah, he sailed the ocean blue.
1492,
yeah.
Columbus,
yeah. That's it, 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. And so from 1492 to 1774, things got messed up, all right? They did. They got 12 from 1830 to 2000. Look at how messed up things have been in this generation. Right? So expect it. And Jesus let us know that all these things would happen. And as a nation turns against the God that brought it to being, as we turn to Baal, as we turn to the Astaroths, as we turn to ourselves and not to God, God sends judgment. And he says, those whom I love, I chasten. And no chastening seems pleasant at the time. This is the persecution that was talked of in Daniel chapter 7. And Jesus talked about several of the persecutions. Here, Jesus teaches about persecution, okay? Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 says, blessed are the persecuted. All right? Blessed are the ones who are not persecuted, or blessed are the persecuted? Okay, so is that only for the Hebrews, or is that for the church?
Us.
It's for anybody who trusts Jesus Christ. Right? You'll be blessed if you're persecuted. Does persecution sound like a fun thing to go through?
No.
It's not, woohoo, yeah, I can't wait to be persecuted. And so,
it's an amazing thing, though. The only way the work of God gets done in your life is when you're in the valley.
Yeah.
It just seems to be.
Mm-hmm. You know, you really don't grow. Think about this. How much really grows on the mountaintops? Have you ever been through the Rocky Mountains or been to the high parts of the mountain ranges anywhere? I've been to the Alps. I've stood on the Zugspitz. Nothing grows up there. Is it beautiful? Oh, yeah, it's pretty. You know, but nothing grows up there. You got to get down to the valley. What grows in the swamp? Everything. You know, there's some things you don't want to grow in the swamp, right? But anyhow, everything grows in the valley. Christianity grows in the valley. We grow through hard times. We get stronger when we've got to struggle. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this picture. Amen. You've got to trust Him more. When a caterpillar turns into a cocoon and then it tries to come out of the cocoon as a butterfly, you know, if you save that from struggling, if you tear that little chrysalis open and help him come out, that butterfly will never fly.
Mm-hmm.
It will. It's got to struggle. If you help a chick when it's first trying to break through the egg, you help that chick will never survive because it needs the struggle to survive. It needs the struggle to build certain muscles that will make it a full-grown chicken or a full-grown butterfly.
You know, we had this conversation, I think, on Tuesday, and it came to me, and just coming back again, sometimes we pray for a blessing.
Amen.
And I wonder if that isn't a curse sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, bless me, God. God says, okay, here you're blessed. Now you turn your back on him and walk away.
Yeah. Oh, that's why I was reading funny. I was looking at 10:5, 10:5. I'm reading over. It's not 10:5, it's 5:10. And so, anyhow, Jesus talks about being in his unfolding of what blessings and cursings really are. 5:10, I'm still not far enough back. Got to keep folding the pages. All right. First, it talks about blessed are the peacemakers, they'll be called the children. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Where are you?
I'm in Matthew 5:10.
Thank you.
Matthew 5:10. All right. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. All right. And understand this. If you are standing for Jesus Christ and they persecute you, good news. Good news. Why? Because yours is the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you're persecuted for breaking the law or being a halfway Christian, sucks for you. You know, you have no promise of a kingdom after that. But if you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, I'm standing on what the Bible says. The Bible says, forsake ye not the assembly. You're standing on that. And your friends and your family and your church brothers persecute you for that because you forsake not the assembly, you're blessed.
You know, you just said that God chastens his saints.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves them.
Yeah.
And he loves everybody, whether you're a believer or not.
Right.
But are you saying he don't chasten the unbelievers?
It's a different kind of chastening. One, go ahead.
I was going to say, think of it in terms of your own children.
Right, there's a good way.
Because
when they're your own children,
eventually everybody gets chastened, right?
Listen to what she said.
You're good. When they're your own children, you're going to train them, you're going to discipline. Does that mean I don't love other people's children? I do, but I'm not going to discipline and train them the same way I'm going to do my own children.
Right. I love my kids enough to whip them, but I don't love your kid enough to whip them.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah.
Well, I meant that. But also, like, there is a verse that says it rains on the just and the unjust.
Yeah. The difference is we run back to the rock that saved us, and those they run to the government that can't. All right? So it's where is your strength coming from? Where are you looking for your help to come from? Yeah, do bad times happen?
Yeah.
If bad times happen everywhere. And just because you're saved, that don't mean they won't happen. If anything, just because you're saved, it means that they're going to happen. Jesus said it. This is not a wealth and prosperity gospel. This is real life grinding stuff.
It is, but that's where that saying there's a joy unspeakable.
Amen.
Because when you are in this valley where there is just no way out,
yes,
and you're just on your face crying to the Lord, it's just, and you can't describe that to
no.
How all this awful storm is going on around you, but there's a peace, and I can let go now.
Right.
Go.
Amen.
They don't understand.
They don't understand because they don't know 10:24 through 33 talks about fear not, fear not, fear not. Talks about Psalm 23:6 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd, right? And Psalm, we got all these. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. All right? If you are standing on Jesus Christ, it is good news when they persecute you because you have a strength that's coming to you that's outside of the normal. It's outside of you. I've heard it said, those who were persecuted for their stand with Christ back in the 1500s, the 1600s, where the Catholic Church was slaughtering Protestants, and they were being burned at the stake, and they were able to preach the whole time that the flames were lapping them up, right? And they were asking for forgiveness for their persecutors, they were praising God, and they were being burned to death. Who here has had a decent burn? Right, just, you know, you stuck your hand in the fire and you got a second degree burn, third degree burn. Did you bless God? That hurt. Right. I mean, you may say bless God, but really, on the inside, these people are dying horrible deaths in Rome. They're being fed to the lions and the bears. They're being cut to pieces. And they are praising God through it all. Through it all.
It's supernatural.
God will never. Yeah. It is praise God. What turned the Romans back, the Romans into Christians? How well the Christians died. Right? It was the blood of the saints that watered the church of today. It was the blood of those folks in Rome that changed, that turned the hearts and minds of men. And praise God for the persecution that's coming. It tells us, before we get down there, well, there's many persecutions that are coming up. Matthew 10, 6 through 23, Jesus talks about it. 16 through 23. Behold, I send you forth a sheep in the midst of wolves. What happens when you send a sheep in the midst of a wolf? It gets eaten.
Yep.
All right, that's not a pleasant thing. Have you ever seen a hound dog or a couple of hound dogs tear up a rabbit?
No.
That ain't pretty. It ain't pretty. And Jesus says, I'm sending you, my church, as sheep in the midst of wolves. All right? And be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, in their places of worship. What are they going to do? Starts with S and ends with urge.
Scourge.
What does scourge mean? It can beat you, wear you out in their synagogues, in the church building. He's not talking about in the courthouse. He's talking about in the church. the ones who call themselves Christian and are not. I had this problem right here in Caledonia. When we came to Caledonia, and I said, marriage is between one man and one woman, period. The church councils, all of the churches, hated us because of that.
Amongst other things,
yeah. But, well, the other things were, again, standing on the righteousness of God. Okay? That a child, that life begins at the first split of a cell. If you found that on Mars, it would be life. If you say that in Caledonia, you're a hypocrite. If you say that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ, you are hated. We were horribly treated in Caledonia. Although we loved them, we cared for them, we poured our hearts, our lives, our wealth out into that community for 6 years? More than that. Anyhow, for a while. For eight years. And that's okay. We did exactly, and then Jesus says, knock the dust off your feet, go to another place. He gave us this. This is the dust. Praise God. Right? And so anyhow, you do that. Understand that they will, the people who call themselves Christian, they're going to scourge you in their synagogue. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. See, there's two different types of persecution there. One is in the house, the church building. The other is being brought before the governors, kings, for a testimony against them and against Gentiles. Against who and against who's the them that Jesus is talking about here? You got to go back a verse. Who scourged you?
The councils.
The councils. All right. You go, and you were scourged in the synagogues and in the councils, right? Those folks, and you're doing that as a testimony before the governor Cuomo, before the mayor, and before the whole of the Gentiles,
before
the unsaved.
Before your family. My daughter said to me, since I have been coming to this church, I have changed.
Yeah.
She said, there's something not right about that church. It's just in your mind. And you think everything is evil now, and that's all you see is everything is evil. And I said, no, my eyes are just more open.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah,
I agree, Laurel.
You know,
it is so heart wrenching, but you have to go back to Luke. In Luke where it says, you know, daughter and mother will be against each other, mother in law. I didn't come to divide you.
Yeah,
That's why scripture. I'm preaching to the choir now. But that's why scripture is so important to know.
Yeah.
It's because you need to know what Jesus says about that.
Yes.
And blessed are you who's going to stand up to your own family. Who made you your vaccination.
It is. I mean, it's one thing when the world hates you, but when your own son, like my son said, and he didn't even call me dad, he said, Curtis, stop talking to me about that. And he shut the door, and I haven't been able to speak to him since. It's been years since I've been able to talk to my oldest son. Why? Because I believe what the Bible says.
Absolutely.
Those are hard things, right? It rips your heart out. I mean, I got grandkids. I can't see. I'm not allowed to see. You know, and, all right, I'd rather serve Jesus, right? I'd rather believe this word than anything else. And so, yeah, but Jesus said, don't he told Peter, you know, if you lose your family and stuff like that for my name's sake, don't sweat it. I'll give you more. I got more. I got more grandkids now. Not just by blood or by marriage or nothing like that. Look, I got two grandkids right over there. Praise God. I got kids that love me. Little short people that love me. Not even kin to me. Right? And praise God for that. We don't have to worry about those things. And he says that he sends you out as sheep amongst the wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, is verse 16, but harmless as doves. Remember that you got to be wise and harmless. Don't bring your gun and beat somebody up because they're trying to hate you. That's okay. Jesus didn't do it. Don't fight back against that stuff. Harmless as God, wise as serpents. First of all, don't get into a place that they can tear you apart. Be smart about it. All right. And when you go or when you do get caught, don't try to fight back. Let God do the battle for you. He's stronger than you are. He has ways to pay you back. And it may not happen right away, but sooner or later, you're going to see the evil disappear off the earth. You're going to see them rot in hell. And I'm not saying that with glee in my heart. I say that with a brokenness of spirit, because those folks are going to go to an everlasting condemnation because they hated the children of the Most High God. And so God's going to take care of it. Verse 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how you shall speak, for it shall be given to you at the same hour that you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of the Father which speaketh in you. All right? So when they do haul you off and you do go to some places, you ain't got to worry about what to say. Who here has been witnessing to somebody who doesn't know the Lord and God just gives you scripture? He just gives you things to say, right? Yeah, I got some scripture I never thought about in 10, 15 years, and all of a sudden, bam, God just brings it up to you. He gives you those words to say. And so, and brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. All right? This is the family's going to hate you. The family's going to hate you. And there's this, not only the family of your own children, but the family of God. The folks who you thought were your brothers and sisters in Christ. The folks that you thought were standing with you, right, in the gospel.
Children of Israel killed the prophets.
Yeah, children of Israel killed the prophets. Yeah. And the people that call themselves Christian, that hate you because you're going to a church, a building, that tells you you don't got to wear a mask come as you are. Do you know people hate us because of that? Other Bible-believing places.
Have you come across that?
More than I want to tell you about.
Yeah, I have.
And that's what he said. None of us have gotten sick.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord.
That's bad. I was just told, I didn't realize.
One
of the leaders said, you got to take caution. You got to be... You're one of the church leaders. You got to take caution. Christ said 365 times, fear not.
Yeah.
And by the way, you have to take caution when you get in your car and drive down the road then, or when you walk across the street.
Right. And so understand part of the persecution is that your family is going to hate you, and there are many people that are in the church. Your brothers, your spiritual brothers and sisters are going to hate you for taking a stand by faith. We made a decision, God made a decision at the very start of this, not to be afraid to follow Him, and He'll protect us. And like Diane said, we've been here, since we've been doing this, not one person that has been here, faithfully coming.
The most vulnerable of all of us.
He went to the hospital choking to death, right? And they did the test. He doesn't have the COVID, right? He's not one person has had the flu since we started this. God has protected us, all right? And we've been going out in the world. You know, we've been seeing people doing stuff outside of the church. And, right? And we have not had one person sick because of a flu virus.
You get somebody who dies in a motorcycle accident. I
shot myself in the face and died. Goes across the
country. And then I died from a heart attack, and they say he died of COVID.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Right, and unless you were sneezing when you ran in front of the truck, I have no idea. Okay, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. How long have you got to endure? To the end. Till they either take you out and you die.
Yeah.
You know, you're tortured to death. You die because of the flogging or whatever. You die and you go home. Praise God. Or you stay until the end of the persecution. Until the end. Until that time. And then praise God. It's done. Right? I find great joy in that right there. And that gives me great intensity about enduring. I've talked about this scientific experience several times since I've been here. They wanted to know how long a rat could swim, or they wanted to know what faith could do in a rodent. So So they took rodents, five rodents, they put them in a tank of water, and they swam for a few hours, they got tired, and they drowned. The next day, they took another set of rodents, they put them in the same tank, they allowed them to swim up just before they started drowning, and they saved them all. They dried them off, fed them up, let them rest a couple days, and they put those same rodents inside of the same tank to swim. They swam for 5 days because they had hope that they would be saved. Right? The other ones, they had no hope and they drowned on the same day. The other ones, they put them in because they had hope of salvation. Somebody's going to come and get us sooner or later because last week, someone pulled us out of this.
But the newest one is they want to start studying the brains of Christians.
Yeah.
To find out what the factor is that they are so faithful. And
yeah.
I have not heard
so they had tried to alter the genetics.
They better study the soul.
There you go. There ain't no help for that. Go ahead, Frank.
I got to say, going back probably 10 years ago, anyways, they wanted to find the God gene.
Yes.
VMAT2.
Yep.
And they figured this is Department of Defense and I can't think of it, DARPA. And they were trying to figure out how they could, obviously in the Middle East, in a military sense, that they were dealing with like radical Muslims and stuff like that, that they could somehow quell their spiritual, zeal.
Right.
So they could conquer them easier. So they were making a vaccine at least 10 years ago.
Right.
Or maybe not quite, something like that.
Yeah.
Years and years ago. So they could manipulate the genetics and CRISPR with the technology.
Yes. Yeah. And so it's just a cool thing. And it's all right, right? Is it okay? Can we all say it is well with my soul? Though Satan should buff it, right? Though Satan should buff it. The trial should come. Let this
assurance
control that whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul.
Right? It is well.
Amen. And so anyhow, right, we got to have that type of faith. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, it is well. All right? Persecution is going to come. Jesus said it was. Daniel said it was. The angel Gabriel came and told Daniel, these things are going to happen. The little horn's going to rise, and he's going to make war with the saints. And he's going to prevail. Revelation 13, he's going to make war with the saints and prevail. Okay? That's Revelation 13. Hey, you're supposed to be out of here in Revelation 4. But Revelation 13 says that he's going to make war with the saints. Unless Antichrist is going to go up to heaven and start whooping on saints, which I don't see that happening. Right? Anyhow, see what I'm saying? We need to be prepared to go through this persecution. He who endures halfway is going to prevail, no? He endures to the end. To the end. Going to be okay. And Jesus gives this other instruction to his disciples, 24 through 33. And the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be so as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? If they call Jesus the master of he's being led by Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies, how much more are those who are in the vine producing fruit? How much more are they going to say that you're of the darkness and not of the light? Especially in these end times. How much more are they going to call righteousness wicked and wickedness righteousness? It's going to get worse and worse and worse. All right? Praise God you're alive today. Right? Because we are seeing these things in America like we've never, ever seen them before. I don't know about you guys, but I'm so so excited. I'm like that puppy beating himself to death with a tail. You know? I'm praise God we're alive right now. We're seeing these things that my grandmother was worried about. We're here. It's going to get tough. Praise God. Greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world, amen? Praise God for this. I read this and I get all excited. And verse 26, fear them not. Oh, wait, they're going to say that I'm worse than Beelzebub because they said Jesus was a servant of Beelzebub? They're going to say worse about me? Don't worry about it. Fear not. Verse 26, fear not. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. Don't worry about it. They're going to, you will not mock God. That whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap. Whether you're born again or not. Amen? You're going to suck it up, buttercup. It's coming to you. You put out, you come against the saints of God, God will defend you. You will stand on that day of judgment in the righteous column. Amen? Because they hated you for his sake. You will stand holy and set apart, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, and you're going to see them being cast out into hell, into weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you're going to cry for their souls. And that's beautiful because God's going to come and he's going to wipe the tear right out of your eye. Isn't that exciting? It makes me happy. It does. I'm excited to see this time. It is a beautiful time. And don't be afraid of it. Fear not. And again, 27. What I tell you in darkness, speak in the light. That's what we're doing here. These are dark sayings for those who don't know the light. And he's telling you, he's revealing this to us. He told it to us in secret. You know where I got this revelation from? Let me tell you, I'm no prophet. I read my Bible. And the Holy Spirit illuminated this to me a few years ago. All right, but the time to unlock it wasn't yet. It's coming. See, I didn't know of the COVID-19 2 years ago. I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't know the world was going to shut down in 3 hours. I didn't know that. I didn't know that the government was going to tell you, you can't go to church. I didn't know that. But God told me that there's a persecution coming. Be ready to stand. Be prepared that the world's going to hate you. It is okay. I find that so refreshing.
Actually, Curtis, it's not coming.
It's here.
But it's our attitude that makes it so that I don't feel really afflicted by people saying anything. They call us, oh, you believe in magical stuff. You know, they just call us fools and everything. I'm not feeling that persecution.
Yeah.
It's almost like God's put up a wall.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't, I love you, my child.
Yeah.
But if you want to feel that way about me.
There you go.
He's giving you the peace.
I've been disliked by better people. That's why I tell folks all the time. Well, we don't like what you preach. Well, I've been disliked by better people. It doesn't matter to me whether you like me or not. I've never cared if anyone liked me, right? I was always short. I was always ugly, right? I was always outspoken. No, I mean, maybe not ugly in prettiness, but ugly in spirit. I was a nasty dog. You pet me, I'd bite you, right? And that's just who I was before Christ. But anyhow, that's beside the point. He says, what God has spoken in the ear, that ye preach on the housetops. When God tells you in the secret place, don't be afraid to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. They will hate you for that, but don't say it like a false prophet does. Stick to the scripture. Right? Because there will be false prophets coming up. But there's also real preachers of the gospel that are coming up. There should be an excitement in the church of Jesus Christ. We ought to be just like, yay, yay, woo, yay, woo, yay. If you're Yosemite Sam, man, you're shooting your gun in the, you're happy and joyful because the persecution is coming. It sounds crazy, but I am so elated that these times are here. And right? And it may, I'm not looking for it to be burned at the stake, you know?
Really?
But if so, it's okay.
It's amazing just what the Lord's revealing.
Yeah.
If you really know Him.
Yeah.
It's
It is okay.
And look what the Lord has given us. He's given us each other, too.
Yeah.
He doesn't push us out to be all by ourselves. Mm-hmm. He doesn't. He still brings the remnant brethren
forsake ye not the assembly together, as some is, as you see the day approaching.
That's right. And that's what the government wants, is to take the assembly and scatter
absolutely
us so that we weaken. But mm-hmm. God says, no, I'm still going to give you
now the ones who live by fear,
they're
suffering.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I have a question I've kind of been struggling with since all this began and since we've been coming here. And it's the people who would be very against us meeting.
Yeah.
Okay? Because they find that we should be closed, we're not wearing masks, et cetera, et cetera. So unless someone comes directly out and says, are you going to church? Which I would say, absolutely, yes, I am going to the church. It's something I don't publicize, I guess, so to speak. And let me ask you why, because it's not, and this is just me personally speaking, I don't think it's because I'm ashamed that I'm coming to church or embarrassed. It's more that I'm trying to protect.
Yeah.
Look, Jesus said just before this, the wisest serpent, but gentlest dove. What you're doing, that's a wise thing. Right? It's wise. You're sent out as sheep among wolves. Be as wise as a serpent, but be gentle.
Because if there comes a time when they say we can't be mm-hmm. meeting again,
yeah,
I don't want everybody to be looking right.
It's coming next month.
Where I don't want anyone to remember a Washington that there was a church that was open mm-hmm. anyway.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. I was struggling, am I trying to hide my faith? I don't think that it's a fine line because.
Right.
I want people to know that I'm going to be faithful and be true to God's word and assemble. But on the other hand, there's that protect
mm-hmm.
us here.
Right. There's the protect, but there's also the people who are going to be searching.
Mm, right.
Exactly.
And so you want to be able to say, I know a place. It's almost like,
it's almost like an underground place.
That
right.
You know,
I want people who are searching to hear the word that know that exists.
Right. Well, it's the fine line between bragging upon ourselves because we're here every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Tuesday, or bragging on God. Look at the protection that He has done for us. Okay? God, as far as I can see, my attitude is God will protect this sanctuary through them.
Yeah.
If you tell somebody else and they're looking for this place, they're not going to find it until God wants them to find it.
In Rome, there was a secret thing that the Christians used to do. They'd draw half a fish. All right, they do this right here. It's just the tail and that. And if I was a Christian, I would say, wow, me too. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
That was the singer.
So what happened during the time when the people were in the catacombs? Did the governments know they were hiding in these caves?
I believe that God protected them. They knew that there was a faction of Christianity out there. They just didn't know exactly where they were.
Because they lived there for years.
They did. They lived there for years. They
lived and died.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's going on today in China.
Yeah.
If you haven't been arrested two or three times, they don't consider you a Christian.
Right.
Okay.
See, we just
but it goes on.
No, we haven't.
And they tear the Bible, the page out of the Bible, and they pass it on, and they memorize it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if they get caught with it, they eat it.
Yeah. And so you wouldn't have a Bible like this. You have a page out of the Bible. And that's all you have.
But you memorize that.
Yeah.
I gave you that one on the messenger. They didn't have enough Bibles for everybody, and he's talking about what chapter and verse they're going, and one of the ladies handed somebody else her Bible. And he says, you're not comfortable with it? He goes, oh, I already know it. She gave it to him verbatim. Mm-hmm. She says, we have to memorize it. I already know what you're talking about.
And so, which puts us to shame, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Here, let's finish this so my wife won't have to let me. She has a timer set because I normally run a little bit long. And so, verse 28, again, fear not them which... Fear not! Amen? Chapter of Matthew 10, 28. I'm sorry. Right. Well, here, pull my finger. You want to hear the other side?
Oh, Jeffy.
I
feel bad for you, though, but I live with the same thing.
Amen. Amen. So don't stand close to the pastor. He's full of gas. You might, hey, I might float up today. And he says, fear not. I love, fear not. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Amen? Don't worry about it. Your soul is safe. Eternity lasts forever. Don't worry about those who kill the body and not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and the body in hell. Who are we supposed to fear? God. Amen? Fear God, because not only can he kill your body, he can throw your soul in hell. That's where I am not worried about the state troopers. I'm not worried about the sheriff. I'm not worried about the governor. I'm not worried about the virus. Why? Because my soul is held in Jesus Christ. Amen? And so what? They bring me out here to the town square and beat me to death, stone me, and do horrible things to my body till it's a corpse, rip me apart by horses. I don't care. Right? You ought not care. It's just a body. It's dirt. You're an animated dirt ball. That's all you are. So what? They killed the body. Zippity-doo-dah. Send me home. Because my soul is held in Christ Jesus. All right? But if I'm not held in Christ Jesus, I need to fear. Because I'll stand before one who's able more than just to kill the body, but he'll throw your soul into hell. Which, again, is a lot worse than death. Is eternal death. Okay? Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? I'm glad I said that right. Thank you. For a farthing. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without our father. But even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Alright? This virus has been killing 200,000 million people, whatever. Did God know every single soul that died?
Yes.
Did every single soul that died had a time to die?
Yes.
Did they die on time?
Yes.
Amen.
Well, not only every soul, but every hair on the body of every soul.
Amen. Yeah. If God knows the sparrows that fall every day, he knows that. And you're much more worth than a bunch of sparrows. I'm probably worth 3.5 sparrows, right? And God knows all of them. He knows every feather, every hair, every thought, every molecule in your body. So what if you die? So why is the church, the world, living in fear? That's just what they do. Jesus said, and this is what kills me about the church today. Why are we so afraid? Don't we have any faith? The pastors that are closing their churches, making you sit 6 feet apart, wearing masks, taking a list of who you know and who you've been talking with?
What?
Yes!
Curtis, I think a lot of it is that phrase, skin deep.
Yeah.
And we as Christians... You know, some faith goes just below the skin, or some is deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the measurement of, you know, I'm a chicken, okay?
Yeah.
I do not want to die in the town square. If somebody's, if they're going to burn me, say, please somebody plug in and shoot me, okay?
Right.
But I think that when we are tried,
yeah,
you know, that's when, you know, iron sharpens iron.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being refined in the fire. We have, as Americans, this superficial, be inconvenient.
Right.
We don't want to do without our air conditioning, our electricity, our
cat seats.
our Wegmans, our, you know, our Charmin toilet paper.
Yeah.
You know, and so when they talk about World War II, this country had, we had rubber drives and we saved paper and all this other stuff. We as Americans, we can't, today, we are so, we're just pansies.
Thank you. Yeah, pansies, that's a good word. Spineless, weeny existence of what God made us to be warriors, right? We were meant to be tough. But stupid phones and technology, Facebook, Twitter, all of that garbage has taken the backbone right out of America, and we're nothing but jellyfish.
It's like every empire, though.
Every empire
goes from rugged individuals, pressing forward, uniting, getting stronger and stronger, reading their highest point, and then they start their downward descent into slovenliness and whatever,
decrepitness,
materialism, selfishness.
Yeah. Sort of. They say the boomers are the last to really know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What being hungry is about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our children. So I've seen such a decline in children. From my 36-year-old child to my 17-year-old twins. Mm-hmm. What a difference.
Yeah.
And who they are. And I really think this computer just really messes their brain.
It really does.
And it really zaps out a lot of brain cells or something.
I'll find this clip, and it was a Star Wars: The Next Generation clip. All right, and it's about this extraterrestrial sends a game into the Starship Enterprise, and everybody wears this little thing. And it's this little game, and it's a ball bouncing, and you catch it in the cone. Pretty simple, but it takes everyone's mind.
Yeah,
everyone's mind. The chip almost dies because nobody turns anything on because they're all stuck on this stupid computer game.
Yeah. And I'm seeing it with my patient.
Yeah.
She cannot put down her phone until she's sleeping at night. Yeah.
I scared a person almost to death the other day. It was going like this, right? I holler at him, and he about pooped himself. I just said, "Look out!" He said, "Put your phone down!" And then, of course, he gave me the California hello sign. Well, that's okay. That's all right. Because I did startling really, really bad. You had a hand up, love?
No, but sometimes
I'm answering
your phone.
Yeah, you get carpal tunnel from it. You know? It's not good for you. Anyhow, to finish this little bit about persecution, Matthew 10, 33, actually. 39. I'll read it all. Amen. verse 32. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess. Oh, wow. We got to back with one more. 31. Fear not, therefore, are you not worth more than many sparrows? Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Now, keep this in context. What's he talking about? He's talking about the persecution. He's talking about being put to death for Christ's sake. Those who refused, you walked as a Christian your whole life. But when the persecution came, you turned away. You denied Jesus. A couple years ago, there was a video of those Christians in the Middle East being burned to death in cages. They did not deny the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you would have denied the Lord Jesus Christ and got out of the cage, then God would have denied you.
Mm-hmm. Who
built
those cages, Biden?
Biden built those cages. But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right? Keep it in context, because I've heard this preached wrong. Horribly wrong. They're preaching about you can never lose your salvation, just hold on to Jesus, and it's all going to be unicorns and rainbows, you're in good shape. So your lucky charms. But Jesus talked about those who will not endure persecution. I, I, I'd love to come worship with the body, but my kid has a baseball game today. Yeah. Right? I'd love to come be a part. I'd love to serve. Like, you know, I have, you know, my buddies are going to watch people drive around in circles really, really fast. What is that? Race car?
NASCAR.
Ride.
NASCAR.
Yeah.
Let's take that right along quick with Revelation 3:5.
Yeah.
He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life.
Yeah. There you go. Who you, how you overcome, right?
How did your name get in the book of life?
You, well, do
being born?
Huh?
Being born?
Being born. Well, actually, it says that your name's put in the book of life before the foundation of the world.
So how was your name?
So then we come to the chosen aspect.
Amen.
That
that's
a really dispute.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
how can you dispute that?
Yeah.
She's
absolutely.
Before,
yeah.
She's outside of time.
Right. He's outside of our time space continuum. So anyhow, it's 10 minutes till the alarm didn't go off.
Uh-huh.
Oh. 1 minute, 30 seconds. Praise God. Jesus said, think not that I have come to send peace into the earth, verse 34. I have come not to send peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man in variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Remember, we got to keep all of that in order. There's a word for that. Anyhow, yeah, because you can take all those little scriptures I just read and pull them out, and not talk about the persecution, not talk about the end of time, not talk about it, and it just rolls over, right?
Yeah.
You know, because I've heard all of those preached in a very different context than what we just taught it. The reason it was taught it this way is because we came to some serious understanding about the persecution of the church. Right? And when you take the Bible line upon line, not ideas and ideology upon ideas and ideology, when you take it this way, it changes everything. I mean, have you ever had this taught this way in your whole Christian life? And I'm not saying that for me. I'm not saying to pat myself on the back. I'm praising God because He's illuminating us in such a manner. Such a manner. So different than what we have learned, known over the last 100 years. Because time is short. And God is illuminating us. He's giving us knowledge of the Most High God. I guess that's why I get so giddy about it. Anyhow, I love you. Who wants to close in prayer? And next week we're going to really